Good morning and welcome to the Heart of Christ Church, where we know God is good and all the time. We also know, believe, and hold to the truth that God has called the church through his Son, our Lord and Savior, with three commands. And those three commands sum up all of the scriptures. I know you hear this every Sunday, but I pray to God you'll start believing it and working it out in your salvation. Can I get an amen, church? That we love God, love others, and go. Because that's what Christ has told us to do, and that is what he has taught us through the scriptures. And it sums it all up from Genesis to Revelation, that as we submit ourselves to the Lord, loving him, coming into obedience, that then we can go and love our world as God has loved us. And that, dear brothers and sisters, will change eternity forever. Well, today we're going to start changing eternity in a different fashion, and we do it every Sunday. We preach the Word of God because the Word of God is why we're here. If it weren't for the Word of God, we would have no hope. Amen? But in Christ Jesus, the hope we have is sure, for we know he is raised from the dead, and we know he is seated at the right hand of God the Father in heaven. Can I get an amen? And in that reality, we come this day to bring forth God's word. And the word today is the last install of this sermon series we began almost 2 months ago. Longest series I've preached in a long time. And thank you, Pastor David, for helping me in it, and what a sermon last week was. And to see the strength of the Lord upon you, whew, you were wearing the armor, buddy. And we all know it. Today's sermon is entitled, There is a War Raging. That's the overarching theme. But the last portion of it is a reminder to us, be strong in the Lord. Each and every one of us, I pray you remember how we began this sermon series. It began with the sermon, be strong and courageous, because that's what God calls us to do. That we need to understand that this is all happening, and the only way we're going to get through is to be strong and courageous, but that means in the Lord. Can I get an amen? Because you and I don't have the strength to be doing this. But God says, take courage. Be strong in me. I have won the battle. And that's where we need to walk. And again, as I said in that very first time when I preached it, this is not a holy suggestion. This is a command of the Lord for each and every Christian that we be strong and courageous. And that does not mean that we cow down, that we whimper down, that we shut up when we're told to. You know, there's one time we're supposed to be disobedient, and that's when the word of man comes against the word of God. Can I get an amen? Because as the Church of Jesus Christ, we serve our God, not men. Because our God will see us through. And he has a plan and a purpose for this world, and he wants us to be part of it. The next thing we remember is that we are to consecrate ourselves. How many of you consecrated yourselves this morning? As you were getting ready this morning, how many of you were thinking on the Lord? How many of you were looking and anticipating worship? That's consecration, folks. You are beginning to set yourself apart unto him. Every day you need to do that. When you get up in the morning, what's the first thing you do? You say, oh, it's Monday. No, you wake up and you say, Lord, it's your day. Let's get it started. That is to consecrate yourself, to set yourself apart. First thought in the morning and the last thought at night. May it always be. Because as we consecrate, as we separate ourselves unto the Lord, the things of this world then become separated. You know, we sing the song, Miss Susan, that the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Isn't it amazing when we don't focus on God, when we don't consecrate ourselves to God, how the world seems to get all over us? And all of a sudden, we're drugged down. We need to consecrate ourselves every morning and throughout the day as different things come. Remember who you are, Christian. Then we looked at the fact that we need to prepare for the battle. How many of you prepare for the day? How many of you, when you wake up, you know, the first thing you say is, Lord, what fight am I going to get into today? How many of us wake up and say, oh, Lord, let it be a good day? They're all good days in Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? Because the truth of the matter is, when you wake up and he's the first thing on your mind and the last thing on your mind before you go to bed, you had an awesome day. Because God did not leave you nor forsake you. But when we leave him and forsake him, he's got to chase us all day long. So prepare yourself for the battle. Get ready. Be on the lookout. And God has told us how to do that. And it's right here in his word. Can I get an amen? And when we begin to do these things, it's amazing what begins to happen to us. And I'm going to take us to where this all began. Well, not where it began, but where we're coming from. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 6, because we're going to go through the armor of God. And we're going to look at this, and each piece has been described every week for the last 4 weeks. We have gone through each and every piece of that armor because we need to be prepared for battle. If you remember what I said, if we're not prepared for battle, we're going into battle naked because none of us have spiritual armor. So you're going into battle naked. How much are you going to be able to do if you are spiritually naked? Okay, if you remember, that's the way I said it last time. And that's one of the things that I need us to remember. We need to have this armor on or we're going to get defeated. We're going to get hurt. How many people have been spiritually hurt? You know, and I'm going to tell you right now, do you realize the church has spiritually hurt many people throughout time? Because we do things and we say things and we hurt people and all of a sudden we realize, oh my goodness, we're part of the problem. Yes, we are. In ourselves. But when we put on that armor, we're wholly different. And I mean that wholly and holy, both forms of the word. Because when we put that armor on, we're putting on the holiness of Jesus Christ. Let us read the word of the Lord from Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in the 10th verse. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day. And having done everything to stand firm therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, with all power and petition. Pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. Blessed be the word of our Lord. Amen and amen. As I stand here today looking at this word and looking at the different pieces of the armor that we went through as we were going over this. Next slide, JB. There we go. There are the different pieces that each and every one of us needs to put on. And every one of those pieces needs to be in place. Because if any one of those pieces is missing, we are vulnerable in the area that it covers. Now, we have these pieces as pieces of garment. But one of the things I want you to understand is as a spiritual covering, they cover you head to toe. Okay? From head to toe, each piece covers you. But we need to understand that each of these pieces is important because each and every one of them holds something for us. Pastor David made a very crucial statement the last time we were together, and that is one of the things that we need to understand. These are divine implements. What does a divine implement mean? Well, Satan uses supernatural implements. Supernatural implements are very powerful because God has given them the ability, and them meaning the angels, to do and perform certain tasks. Satan can still perform all the tasks that he has been given, but now he does them unto destruction rather than unto good. So therefore, God has not given us simply supernatural implements. The implements that he has given us are divine. In other words, he has given him his very strength. He has given us the divine nature, not a supernatural nature. So when we look at this armor, it is far more superior than that which comes against us. And when you and I don't put it on, and all we're wearing is our flesh, how much strength do we have in going after these things? That's why this scripture opens with, finally, in verse 10, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Not yours, not supernatural things, divine nature. God does not give us inferiorly to the angels. God has prepared us to defeat them. In fact, we know that to be true because the scripture reminds us that in the end, we will judge angels. Now, we will not be in our flesh mind. We will be in the mind of Christ at that time. And our judgment will be right. It won't be self-seeking. It won't be hard. It'll be true. Because how many of us would come after these things and make it suffer? You know, when I think about my vengeance wants to make somebody suffer. But God's vengeance, though they will suffer, because when God's wrath is poured out, the world is going to find out just what hell really is. But God does not do it in anger. God does it justly. And so too must we. And I mean that here and now. Because when we're wearing this armor, we're bringing judgment upon these things. So it needs to be done in humility. It needs to be done in grace. It needs to be done in the mindset of Jesus Christ, who gave himself up for each and every one of us. And I think that's one of the most amazing things that any of us could ever remember, is the fact that he who was able to end it all through destruction, chose peace with God to be the way to end it. That we would finally have peace with God because he took upon himself our iniquities and set himself to the place of hell where you and I belong. But glory be to God, he rose up from the dead and is now seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. And from there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. Can I get an amen? And we are no longer dead because we're in Christ Jesus. We are the living. So our judgment has already been done. Now when we get there, we're going to be judged unto works. We're going to be judged unto that righteousness. What did you do? Okay, Brother Mitch spoke of it here today. When you get before the Lord in heaven and he says, why do you deserve to be here? What are we going to say? Because he's not going to say it in that way. He's going to ask us, what did you do with my son while you were there? That's what he's going to ask. And what's the answer going to be for each and every one of us? My answer is going to be very simple. I tried to be a mirror as much as I could. And he's going to look at me and he's going to say, yeah, you did pretty good over here, but man, you messed up over there. Look at all the blessing you could have had. That's why I say, those who want to escape this world, I feel for them because, man, they are missing so much glory. I don't know about you, but I want the strength of the Lord on me because I know I can't do anything effective without him. But in him, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Now, does that mean I'm going to succeed at all of it? No, because I'm going to screw up. How many of you know me? Thank you, Chuck. That's truth, though. And Chuck does know me. Because the reality is, how many of you mess up every day? And how many of you experience God's grace every day? Because he will never leave us nor forsake us. He is the God of the universe. He told the people that were there with him in Gethsemane when Peter struck the ear of the guy from the temple. He says, don't you know? I could have called 10,000 legions. Do you know what he was saying when he said that? I could have destroyed it all. I could have wiped everything out. But that's not why I'm here. I'm here to redeem my people. Not violence, not vengeance, but redemption. So as you and I walk in this, there's a war raging, but we fight not against flesh and blood. Isn't that what we read? We fight not against flesh and blood. Yes, people are going to come at us. Things are going to happen to us, and it's going to involve all kinds of other people and situations and things. And we need to understand that these things are all being brought to us, as the scripture teaches us here, through the powers and principalities, through the dark forces, through these powers that come against us, these rulers and these things of the evil realm. Because we are in a battle. That battle started at the garden. And I verily say unto you this day, it actually started before the garden, because Satan fell before the garden. Sin entered into this world before it entered into us as a people. Because Lucifer tried to usurp God. And that's on a supernatural level. But God saw it coming, and he said, you know what? I've got to make a way for these people. And that way is his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God, verily God, I say unto you this day. And we need to take that and be strengthened with all power. Turn in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. It's back just a couple of pages here from where we are. Colossians chapter 1. And I'm going to read this through, but then I'm going to go back and I'm going to pick out the pieces. In my Bible, they're purple. I don't know, what color are they in your Bible? Oh, you didn't have a pencil to mark them, did you? Well, you can mark them now. We're going to begin in verse 11. Colossians chapter 1, verse 11 through 23. I'm going to read the whole thing, and then I'm going to go back, and I want you to mark your Bible. I want you to highlight these things, because I want you to see what God is telling us here and to understand that we need to be strong in the Lord. From verse 11 in Colossians in the first chapter, we read these words. Strengthen with all power according to his glorious might for the training of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. For he rescued us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is also head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him, I say, whether things are on earth or things in heaven. And although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet he has now reconciled you to his fleshly body through death, in order to present you before him a holy and blameless and beyond reproach. If indeed you continue in the faith firmly established and steadfast and not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven. Blessed be the word of our Lord. Amen. When I look at these words, the very first thing he starts out with here is strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience. That is the first place in this scripture that we just read where he is talking about the power of that armor that each and every one of us is wearing. That it is the power unto the battle that rages in our world. That as those flaming arrows come to us from the evil one, that we are prepared fully to receive them and win the victory. It is our victory in Christ Jesus. He already won the war. He won the war on the cross of Calvary and at the side of the grave where he raised up from it. And his ascension into heaven seats it in the heavenlies. That all things have to answer that call because all things were created by him and for him, which is the next section, verse 16. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. Nothing is above him. Every piece of that armor that protects us is above this entire universe. These are divine implements of war, and nothing can defeat them, but we have to put it on. We have to utilize it each and every day. We have to understand that he has prepared us for this, but we must submit ourselves to him. Love God. That's the very first thing we need to do. Because as we love God and we submit ourselves to him, our mind goes out to reach the mind of God. And that's what that helmet of salvation does. It protects our minds and it gives us the mindset of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to ask you a question. Would you rather have the mind of God or the mind of a man who is going to worry about all the things of this world and try to get vengeance and make everything right now? Or are you going to put on the mind of God that says, I've already got this covered and you've won the war already? I want you to think about that in the long term. I want you to understand that none of us know what's coming tomorrow. God does. He has it all set out. Everything in all of creation has been worked out. And we know how the story ends because we read the end of the book. How many of you, it's the first thing you do when you get a new book. You read the first page, you know, generally it's the people that are talking about the book. And then you turn to the back of the book and you read the last couple pages to see if it ends well. So you know you want to read what's resting in the middle of it. I want you to think about that, because if you do that with the Bible, it says he wins. That's a story I want to read. In fact, that's a story I want to be part of. And that's what we need to remember. Without that armor, you and I are defeated already. Without that armor, every one of those arrows is getting through. And all we have to do is have one piece missing. One piece missing, and we're vulnerable. Because though they are divine in nature, when we don't have it all in one accord, we might as well have none of it. But Pastor, that doesn't sound right. Let me ask you a question. How many commandments are there? That's a real question. How many commandments are there in Exodus? 10. Very good. You listened in Sunday school. There are 10 commandments. No, there's one, the law. We say there's 10. God gave us one law. Break any piece of it, you've broken all of it, because it's one law. He gives us pieces of armor, but it's one armor. Miss one piece, the whole thing is ineffective. We have to be people of peace. Our feet fitted with the readiness of the gospel. We have to be a righteous people, breastplate in place. We have to have the truth because that's what holds it all up. Okay? We have to have the shield. We have to have the sword. We have to have the helmet. Each and every one of us has to have every piece. And in that, we will find the protection of God. Now today, and if you guys would focus on little Jesus here for the folks out there in the world, I want all of you to pick up your little Jesus. Take him out of your pocket. And no, it's not candy, as somebody found out today. I won't look at that individual, but they thought it was candy. Oh, that's cool, it's a gummy. No, that ain't a gummy. Everybody got your little Jesus? For those of you on the internet, here's the little Jesus. I'll show you my finger. Isn't that cool? Neat little Jesus. I got these weeks ago, because I wanted to prove a point. I was with a bunch of pastors, and this pastor got these out of his pocket, and he was showing everybody, and he said, you know, this is just a simple way of sharing the gospel, and you know, this is kind of cool. And there are going to be those people out there on internet land, and probably some of you right now, they're going to be saying, yeah, why did he give us an idol? I didn't give you an idol. I'm not going to pray to this thing. It means nothing to me. It's a piece of rubber. But may it remind me of someone. May it bring my memory to the place of saying, do I believe in Jesus Christ? But this pastor, he gave these to us. You know, he showed them to us. He wasn't giving us any of them. He said, nope. He said, we're giving those to people. He said, because everybody needs a little Jesus. And when he said that, I took offense. Because I want you to think about this. If this guy's armor is what you're wearing, do you think you're going to win the battle? Everybody needs a little Jesus. No. No, 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 no. We need the Jesus that is the Jesus of a universe that can't contain him. We need the Jesus that is the Jesus who spoke and everything that was created is, whether visible or invisible, whether of the earth or of heaven, that nothing is more powerful than him. That's the God who wants us to put on his armor, and he brings it to the place where it fits in us through the power of the Holy Spirit, and through that power, you and I can go out and do the work that we need to do. That little Jesus that you're going to carry around in your pocket, that is not my God. That is not your God. May it simply be a reminder of just who is our God and a way of presenting that reality to someone else. And I think it's cute because I told the one family here, they were giving these out for trick or treat. And when I saw that they were doing that, I laughed because they had no idea I was going to be giving them out here at church because they use them to let everybody know Jesus loves you. How many of you got that one on your Jesus, okay? This one says Jesus loves you. There's a whole bunch of different sayings on these things, and those sayings are all going to be true. But the reality is Jesus is so much more than something you put in your pocket. Because if all Jesus is something you put in your pocket to be reminded, or something you put in your pocket when you need a little bit of help, you say, oh, Jesus, help me, help me. No, that's not God. I don't know what that is, but I'm going to tell you right now, when you are down on your knees and you are down and out because the world's coming at you, the reality is the God of the universe has given me his armor. He's given me his strength. He's given me his power. And there is nothing under his name that will stand to him. Can I get an amen? Brothers and sisters, this battle is already won, and we need to be the Church of Jesus Christ advancing it out into this world. Each and every one of us needs to understand. We don't need a little Jesus. We need the Jesus that created it all and finished it all. Can I get an amen? We need the Jesus who has said, I am the Alpha. I am the Omega. I am the first. I am the last. And everything answers to me. And when we put him on, everything in this world's got to answer to us. In the power of Jesus Christ, not in your strength, not in your mind, not in your hope, but in the hope of the Lord. Can I get an amen? Because you and I are going to say and do some dumb stuff. Can I get an amen? And remember, We're agreeing with the Word of God when I ask for those amens. Because all of us fall short. All of us fall short, and we need grace every day. I tell my wife that every day. You know, Lord, forgive me. Lynn, forgive me. And sometimes Lynn's more important. I got a bunch of husbands out there smirking right now, Miss Susan. You know that. But you and I need to understand that. We're going to mess up. We're going to mess up. If anybody's the little Jesus, it's us. We show a little bit of him because we're flawed. But he's not, and he has us covered. He knows what we need, and he'll bring it to us if we allow him. Because he's telling us here, for it was the Father's good pleasure. This is verse 19. This is another purple one. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him. Jesus lacked nothing. And if we have his armor on, we lack nothing, brothers and sisters. Nothing is lacking. But we must continue in the faith. Isn't that what it says? This is the final purple one for this section. Yet he has now reconciled you to his fleshly body through death in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. If indeed you continue in the faith firmly established and steadfast and not moved away from the hope of the gospel. We have to hold on to this truth every day in every situation. I'm going to tell you right now, you know, I'm looking at Sister Marion, Pastor Dave, Brother Mitch, Miss Susan. It's tough sometimes, isn't it? You know, we know what you folks are going through simply by mind. We don't know what you've gone through and what's yet to come. Mitch has got to go in for another surgery. We need to keep him lifted in prayer. That's our job, amen? We need to pray for Sister Marion. She's at the end of her treatments here. I mean, you're going to start radiation soon? Is that how that works? Okay, the chemo's done, but now it's radiation. Pastor Dave's just getting ready to start his this week, if I'm not mistaken. Correct, Pastor Dave? Both the chemo and the radiation. Like I said, Brother Mitch is going for another surgery before they start anything for him. But may we remember, and I pray that you will, you're not alone in this. God is right there by your side, and so too is this church. Can I get an amen? Because we're believing for you. We want to be your strength. But we know where we get our strength from, Miss Susan. You've been suffering longer with this stuff than anybody else out here. 1996, isn't that what you said? 1986. Wow. It's time to be over, amen? Yes. And the only way we're going to get there is through him, through his strength, that nothing can defeat. Now, we all know this is a fact, don't we? That sometimes the victory is leaving this world and going to the next. Because this place isn't our home. We're kingdom people, but we're in this world. You know, we were kingdom people before we were born. Before we were created, we were destined for the kingdom. God knew that a long time ago. But we've got to go through it. Why? It's preparation. Preparation for what is yet to come. How many of you know what's in store for us in eternity? I didn't think so. Because I'll guarantee you, I don't know either. But I can't wait to find out. Because if this is what I got to go through to get there, oh my goodness. Can you imagine what it's going to be like? I mean, let's face it, folks. This is as close to hell as we'll ever get. Do you think we can handle this? Yeah, I think we can. And I think we will with the strength of Jesus Christ. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Because God wants us to make sure that there is no weakness in us, no weakness in us. From Ephesians chapter 3, we're going to be in, we're going to be in 16 through 21, 16 through 21. He says to us in this word, he says, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more and abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Jesus Christ to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Can I get an amen? What is he saying in there? He's telling us that if we walk in him, if we put on that full armor, if we walk in the fullness of Christ, that there is no weakness. These divine implements are able and more than able to carry us through, plus everyone else who will put this armor on. We will not be lacking in any form. The God who created the universe cannot be defeated. The God who created the universe is limitless in power, but he holds it back. Why? Because when it finally gets poured out upon all of creation, you know, I think it's funny because we all think that that just means our little earth, don't we? No. When God melts the firmaments, that's everything. Do you know how many galaxies there are in this universe? Neither does science, because there's that many of them. Because the better our telescopes get, the more we find, and the more we realize it's not the end of it. And when we understand that his divine nature has been made perfect in Jesus Christ, and he has given us that perfect nature, there is nothing in creation that can defeat us. Absolutely nothing. But guess what defeats us at every turn? Miss Dawn got it. Because we allow that evil one in, don't we? We allow him to say, oh, you're not anything. Who do you think you are? You messed up back here. Oh, and you think you're so high and mighty. And you said this to that person the other day. Would you tell him to get out of here? He has no place in this, because what goes on between you and Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? Because you are working out your salvation. You are what? Working out your salvation in fear and trembling. And that's why he comes at you, because he knows he cannot touch your salvation. He cannot touch the cross of Calvary, because it's the cross of Calvary that defeated him. He thought he won the victory. What do you think happened when he showed up in hell? He got down there. He was all marred. He was all filled with filth, because he took upon himself our junk. And when he got down there and he started shaking it off, and the divine glory of Jesus Christ started shining in hell, do you think the demons didn't run? To God be the glory. Amen. I'm telling you, he knew he lost. He knows he's defeated. And that's why he's coming at us so strong, because he wants to take us out of the fight. He wants to take us out of the measure. He wants to take us away from the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. And even if he does, our hope is still sure, for we have believed the one who is able, and I know is able, to bring about that day. And that day is the day that I'm looking forward to, when I see him face to face. But there's a lot of work to do between now and then. And I don't know about you, but may God get the glory to every step we take. Can I hear an amen out of the church of Jesus Christ? You are his army. Nothing can defeat us. This divine nature will carry us through to the end. But we have to be willing to get out there and be in the battle. That one took a lot out of me. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Isaiah. It's our last scripture today. I know I'm running us a little bit late, but I pray that you're able to tolerate your seats for just a few more moments. We are going to be in Isaiah chapter 40, verses 28 through 31. And the awesome thing is, and I'll show you this, you know, I told you I'm marking these, right? 28 through 31. Almost all of it is marked. Can you see the orange in my Bible there? That's 29 through 31. Out of 28 through 31, this is powerful scripture here, okay? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. Though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired, and they will walk and not become weary. To God be the glory. Can I get an amen? Because brothers and sisters, what's he telling us there? He is telling us if you love God, if you love others, and if you go, you are not going to get weary. Though this world may come at you in every form, though the devil come against you and try to stop you as much as he can, nothing in all creation can pull us away from the strength that is in Jesus Christ to the glory of God the Father Almighty. You and I have already won this victory, but we've got to go through it. I don't know about you, but it's the going through. Sister Marion, am I right? Brother David, Brother Mitch, Miss Susan, it's the going through. Wears you out, doesn't it? Yes, it does. I got white hair and a white beard. It ain't because it's been easy. I'm going to tell you right now, I was told when I was going into the ministry, oh yeah, that's going to be an easy job. Holy cow, did somebody lie to me? This has been the toughest thing I've ever done in my life, but it's the most worthwhile thing I've ever endeavored into. I'm going to tell you, when this roller coaster started, I thought, oh, this is fun. I don't want to get off this puppy. Because every day I see a glory of God that just blows my mind. I look out here right now. I look at this congregation. And I look at your comments. I look at the number of folks who watch us on the internet. And I think to myself, how many lives are being changed? Look around, brothers and sisters. We are a growing. And we're not only growing in number, but we're growing spiritually. And that's what I'm talking about. I don't care how many people come to this church. I'm going to preach this way until the day I die, until the Lord comes and calls me home, whichever happens to come first. And I hope it's the latter before the former, because I'll guarantee you, when he calls, I'm going to jump as high as I can to meet him in the air. And I know he's going to catch me up, because I've been waiting on that day. But until then, I got work to do. And you and I both, all of us, need to understand that he has given us everything. And yes, it's going to be hard work. I am going to tell you right now, you know, I'm looking at my phone. And you, I swear to God, I think some of this stuff that's happening is to show us that we are able. Okay, Sister Marion, Brother David, your Pastor David, Brother Mitch, Miss Susan, oh my gosh, I'm telling you right now, we see what you're going through, and we know that as a church, there's so much more that we will go through, but there is a time, Miss Susan, and I've said it, where we've got to call it to come to an end, and we're calling it to come to an end. We're calling it to come to an end. We're calling it to come to an end. We're calling it to come to an end, and that end is not this little thingy here on the pulpit. It is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Can I get an amen out of the church? And when we call upon that name, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and that includes the demons, and they gotta flee. I'll guarantee you there ain't none in this house, not right now, because they've heard it and they've run. You ought to all see your faces. Oh my goodness, is it glory right now? You're like, whew, Pastor, holy cow. Hey, we either call it out or we shut up. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of being told to shut up. Can I get an amen from the church? May my life speak boldly into this world. And if I have to, then I'll speak. Of course, you know I'm a pastor. You know I'm going to speak before anything else. But I'm talking to you because there are many of you who say, but I can't say the things he says. Fine, live them. Show them in your life. Show them in your actions. Show them in your attitudes. Because in that, Christ is glorified. And you need to hear that. All of us need to hear that. Because I'm going to tell you right now, the world's watching. You might think, oh, no, I'm nobody important. I'm telling you right now, to non-Christians, you are the Bible being lived out in front of them. And they're watching. And they're wondering. And right now, we are living in a world that is awake. So much more awake now than it has been in a long time. And the question is, are you going to be their alarm clock? And are you going to let them hit the snooze one more time? Or are you going to ring on and ring on and ring on? They got to get up. We got to get up. And we have the power of Christ to do so. The war is raging. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Let us pray. Father God, we come before you in the name of Jesus, who is the Christ, our Savior, our provider, who is our ever-present help through the power of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray right now for all of those who are out there who want this reality in their lives, want you, want to be renewed, refreshed, that Lord God, as those hearts are turned to you, and for those out there on the internet, if you want the desire of your heart is to be whole, holy, and to walk with the Lord in strength, I pray that you will pray this simple little prayer. But then you need to change your life. Pray with me, Father in heaven, come unto me this day. I know you are God, and I receive your Son as my Savior. I repent of my sin. I repent of the things of this world, and I turn from them, and I turn to you. Teach me, Father, your will, your way, that it may be my faith. And in the name of Jesus Christ, who has paid the price for me, may my soul be ever yours from this day forward. Father God, for those of us who have prayed that prayer many, many, many times, because we need to pray it, because we need forgiveness every day, may you walk with us and guide us. May we realize that this battle is already won, and may we truly be strong in you, that the word of truth, the way, and the life be shown through us. Because may you be the one seen in us. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and the church says, and amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can locate us on the web at theheartofchristchurch.com. There you will find many useful links to contact us or donate to our ministry, where it is our mission to love God, love others, and go.